So today we are going to actually be continuing in a series that we've been on for a few weeks. You may not have noticed it, but we are actually on a theme of following through some of the key points in the Old Testament. Actually, the themes are all entirely nicked off the Cantonese service. So on Sunday afternoons, they're doing it. And then on Tuesdays, we're doing the same passages. This wander through the Old Testament. So after the Exodus, God gives Moses not just the Ten Commandments, which we've read out today, but actually a whole covenant. The book of Deuteronomy in the Bible, the whole book is in the form of a covenant that God gives to Moses. Essentially, it is a covenant of works. This is the way that most religions across the world work. If you obey the rules, blessing will come. If not, curse. And that's the way that the covenant in Deuteronomy is set up. So as Christians in New Testament times, we'd rightly be saying, rubbish, we don't work like that. The blessing comes through faith in Jesus, not through striving to please God. And of course, we'd be absolutely correct. Sorry, just slightly changing the microphone, since I can, and since it's ringing quite badly. So we're not trying to strive to please God, because we know that we accept that, the righteousness through Jesus. But of course, that's not the whole story. As a Christian, the question is, what do you need saving from? And of course, we know the answer. We know that we need to be saved from our sins. But what is sin? And suddenly we see the enduring value of the Old Testament law, because it starts to define for us what our ethics should look like. In fact, what it's trying to define is what righteousness looks like. Now, righteousness is this idea of being in the right when we stand before God. Who can be in the right when they stand before God? Nobody but Jesus. But we need to know what it looks like if we're even to try to live a life of faithful obedience. But even in the Old Testament, the law is complex. We've got the Ten Commandments, but we've also got books full of other laws that we don't seem to keep today, do we? There's laws about not eating shellfish. There's laws about not wearing mixed fibres in your clothes. We don't keep them. We don't even try to keep them. And so we should be asking ourselves the question, why not? But even in today's passage, we can see the answer. If we look carefully, we see in verse 29 a reference back to the Ten Commandments, when God says to Moses, keep my commands always. It's a reference back to those Ten Commandments. Always keep those ones. And then in verses 30 and 31, we have a reference forwards to the other laws and decrees that will be given for them to follow in the land I am giving them to possess. So we look back at the Ten Commandments, and God is saying, keep these always. We look forward to the laws that are given for when they are in the land. And that is a repeated refrain that comes through the whole of the book of Deuteronomy. These are the laws I'm giving them for when they are in the land. So we have a distinction. Ten Commandments, always, throughout your generations. Laws, the rest of the Old Testament law, for when they are in the land. Now, that's a nice, easy division, isn't it? It's not as simple as that. Okay, it's always a little bit more complex, isn't it? So it is still a little bit complex, because Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse 18, he says, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And of course, his reference is to the whole of the Old Testament law. So God has said to Moses, Ten Commandments for always, everything else for when you're in the land. And Jesus has said, hold on, not a single letter of this law is going to disappear until everything is accomplished. So what is the enduring value of the law for the land, the law for when they are in the land? And the way we normally understand this, there are different ways of understanding it, but the way we normally understand it is that the law for when they are in the land is, if you like, a case study of how you interpret the Ten Commandments for different circumstances that you might find yourself in. They found themselves as a Bronze Age tribe in the land of Israel. How do you apply the Ten Commandments? Oh, look at this law that God has given us. This is how we interpret it for those times. Later on in the Bible, we find other interpretations of the law. So when you read Daniel, you will find that he is trying to take the principles from the law and trying to apply it for when you are an Israelite captive in Babylon in a completely different world. How do you apply the law? He does it then. And then later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus also teaches us how to apply the Ten Commandments in different times. So, for example, he talks about the commandment not to murder, and he expands it out and says, look, even if you're angry with somebody, you've fallen down on that commandment. He takes the commandment about adultery, and basically he says, look, even if you've got a wandering eye, that's the same as falling down on that commandment. The idea here is that Jesus is saying sin is in thought, it's in intention, it's in your daydreams as much as it is in our actions. And so it's no wonder that in New Testament times, St. Paul, when he's writing about this in Romans, he concludes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that because the demands of just those Ten Commandments, when you interpret them like Jesus does, I mean, the bar is set so high, it's because the bar is godlike perfection. So no wonder he concludes like that. But it just reminds us. It reminds us how much we need our Saviour Jesus Christ to save us from our sins by faith in his sacrifice of himself. It should actually give us great joy to know that you and I are so valuable to God that he doesn't just leave us on a spiritual scrap heap of you failed, you didn't meet the exactingly high godlike perfection. He doesn't leave us there. He comes to save us in Jesus. And what he asks for from us is faith. Faith that Jesus is who he says he is. Faith that Jesus did what the Bible tells us he did. And what does that faith look like? Well, again, we're coming back to what our ethics look like. Because in John 14 and verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. So it's not that in following the commands, we work our way towards God and he saves us. Oh, no. It's that because we have faith in Jesus, obviously, if we actually have faith in Jesus, we will strive to keep his commands. So it works the other way around. Not that by following the commands, we work our way to God, but because God has already come to us, we follow his commands as our response, our faithful response to him. So what are those commands? Well, obviously, if you look at the words of the Gospels, we're thinking about ethics now. What does it mean to express our faith by following Jesus? Well, we have Jesus' direct ethical commands. Love your neighbour as yourself. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Go and make disciples of all nations. These are Jesus' commands, the very direct ones. So yes, we seek to follow them as faithful responses to what he has done for us. We also have Jesus' endorsement and expansion into the thought life of the Ten Commandments. So this is Sermon on the Mount stuff. This is Jesus' words where he takes the Ten Commandments and he applies them even to our thought life. So don't even think of worshipping other gods or images or misusing the Lord's name. Don't even think of not having Sabbath rest for rest and for worship, or not honouring your parents. Though honouring your parents, obviously, is different in everyone's circumstances. Don't even think of anger, because Jesus says it's like murder, of lust, because Jesus says it's like adultery, of jealousy or covetousness, because it leads to the thought of stealing, or lying in any way, because it's misrepresenting the truth. So we seek to follow those things. We seek to follow these Ten Commandments, which we are given for always, because of Jesus' endorsement and expansion of them. So we've got Jesus' direct words about ethics. We've got his endorsement of the Ten Commandments and expansion of them, which we seek to follow. And then we also have where Jesus picks up and endorses other parts of the Old Testament law. And this is where it gets a bit complicated, because there's this whole thing of Old Testament law. And in just some cases, actually surprisingly large number of cases if you look closely, but in some cases Jesus picks up some of that Old Testament law and endorses it. And there are striking examples of this relevant today. For example, his endorsement of marriage, but there are many, many others that we can consider. So when we come to think about what does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to put our faith in him. What does it mean to put our faith in him? Well, it means to listen to the things he says about the way we should live and seek to do that. Not to earn his favour, we already have that. But to follow faithfully is what we are trying to do. And how do we do that? We look at his direct ethical commands. We look at his endorsement of the Ten Commandments and his expansion of them. And we look at the other areas where he has picked up parts of the Old Testament law and endorsed them. What God is doing is God is giving us a framework. We know what righteousness looks like. We know what it looks like to be the perfect people that God expected us to be. We can't do it, because the bar is so high. But we know what it looks like, firstly, so we can strive towards it as our faithful response. But secondly, so we know how much we need Jesus as our Saviour to rescue us from the situation that we've got ourselves into. I'm going to stop there. Let me pray for us. So Lord, as we think about these Ten Commandments, as we think about what it means to faithfully follow you, we pray, Lord, that you would be challenging us in the areas that we need to be challenged in. But that you'd be doing it hopefully. Hopefully because we know that you don't want to leave us in the place where you find us, but you want to move us on to be more like the people you made us to be. Lord, help us to follow faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.